This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go, 7:16 now on this Thursday morning, November 21st, week away from Thanksgiving. Beautiful fall morning, man. I'm going to tell you what, highs of only 65 today, and then it gets even cooler tomorrow with highs then only in the lower 60s, and then even a little bit cooler then, and then it warms up by Thanksgiving. So all in all, dry, could be worse. Right now, we're going to talk about the governor's tax reform plan. Andy Knapp joins us, CEO Committee of 100 for Economic Development. Good morning, Andy. How are you? Adam,
hey,
I beg
Adam,
your pardon.
How are you doing? No worries.
Oh, I had Andy from the guy.
I think my mom called me that at birth, and I've been confused ever since.
No, let me change
okay.
That right now.
Thanks for having me.
For those of you keeping your own scorecard at home, Adam will be batting for Andy. Adam. They always say it twice. Adam.
That's right.
Let's talk about the committee committee of 100. What is it, first of all? Then we'll talk about tax reform.
Yeah, our members are executives across the state who work across party lines to try to get engaged on big public policy issues around the state. And about a decade ago, they actually hired a group called the Tax Foundation, a national nonprofit, to look at, you know, what would be the ideal tax policy for Louisiana. And that's kind of how we came into this conversation some.
Let's talk about, and I see a statement from the 18th from you all about supporting the governor's tax reform plan with eight caveats, but a lot has changed since then. So tell me, I guess, where the current plan stands in the legislature and how you guys feel about the way it's going.
Well, today I think is going to be a pretty monumentous day to that debate. As it stood, you know, 2 days ago, there was a lot of change. There were a lot of changes in the Senate to try to address the price tag of this proposal. As different pieces have made it through and not made it through. And that's kind of typically what you see happen, and that's happening here. So they have started out with a 3% individual income tax that went up to 3.75. I think there's a lot of movement to try to drive that number down again to 3% for our individual income tax across the state. That is an expensive choice. And to do that, they've got to have other revenues so they don't break the bank of the state budget by making that change. I think that's going to be the thing that drives most of the debate of the day.
Just recap again, because it's radio and you can't go back and reread, if you would please again, Adam.
You bet. So the governor proposed a plan of a 3% income tax rate, taking our income tax as individuals from 4.25%, so we about 4.25% today in Louisiana. He's been trying to get that rate to a flat rate of 3%. The way it left the Senate committee 2 days ago was to move that up to about 3.75 to try to keep the numbers in balance. But there's a whole move today to try to find enough money to lower that back down to 3% for individual income tax. And I really think that debate is probably shaping the rest of the debate.
So where's that money going to come from? Sales tax?
So they had started out looking at a sales tax on services that ran into some challenges leaving the House of Representatives. And so without that money from the sales tax on services, there's a lot of desire to try to still achieve this lower rate, flatter rate. So that what they're looking at is kind of continuing to eliminate a bunch of exemptions of the sales taxes, but also trying to potentially increase the sales tax rate to pay for that. And so today, you know, we have this 4.45% state sales tax that we pay. Of course, we pay a local sales tax of around 5%. So they would try to drive that sales tax rate of the state slightly higher to use that to pay for lowering the income tax on individuals.
You know, I think it's interesting. We'll take a break here and pick it up. We come back. This all goes back to the penny sales tax that expired. Then there were three sessions, as I recall, that got it to 0.45, and that's set to roll off. And that's what we're talking about here. And I think the interesting portion about this discussion is you got to go back and look at it goes to the essential nature of government and revenue and spending. And if that penny had been in place, would we be where we are now? Or if that penny had stayed in place, would everything be rolling along smoothly? Because I guess the caveat, to use your word, would be would government spending then have expanded to spend whatever they brought in with that penny sales tax had it stayed in place, and then we'd be right back where we are. And you can comment on that when we come back. Adam Knapp, CEO, Committee of 100 for Economic Development, talking about the governor's tax reform plan, 721, traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Adam Knapp, CEO, Committee of 100 of Economic Development for Economic Development about Governor Landry's tax reform plan and where it stands now. I posed the question beforehand, Adam, and the history of this 1 cent sales tax that they wanted to get rid of. They did. Then it took three sessions, if I remember correctly, to get it to 0.45, a compromise. And look, these are rough estimates, okay? But that's basically what happened. Accurate?
That's right. And it's been a stable budget environment with the 0.45 for the last many years. That was back in 2017 or 2018, and now we're back at the place where they knew setting it up that they would have a end to that 0.45. That was the deal to get it across the finish line. That end is next year, and so over the last few months, there's been a lot of talk about a looming fiscal cliff that's been, because of that 0.45. That's also setting up this debate about, well, shouldn't the whole tax structure be looked at? So that's what we're in the middle of.
But it does.
As a review to try to make the whole competitiveness of the state better.
It does make me wonder about the essential nature of state government here in Louisiana and revenue and spending. And if that penny had stayed there, if they had not gone looking, I hate to say looking for a fight, but looking for to make a stand and make that sales tax roll off, which, as I understand it, it's a more of a regressive tax, right? So the people that own businesses were not really against the penny sales tax, were they? And I guess go ahead.
That's right. Yeah, in general, the sales tax is something that's paid for by everybody. So the business community has seen that as something that's a little bit more fair, that it's on everybody's till. And and as the governor has been phrasing it this session, you make choices in your spending to have these consumptions that are taxable in the sales tax. And he calls the income tax, a labor tax. There shouldn't be a tax on our labor. And that distinction is new to the debate, I guess, for us to have that debate, but it is something that's been pretty consistent across tax policy for decades. The Jindal era changes that happened led to the sales tax changes as well. So there's been a cycle of shifts in tax policy over the last 20 years.
So, but again, you can make a case that if that penny had stayed there, not to mention you talk about the state being stable with the 0.45, if the penny had stayed there, maybe we'd be running a surplus. Maybe services that are essential could have been expanded. Maybe education would have been made better. Or you can make the case that maybe the money would have been, as a matter of what you give them, they're going to spend, and we'd still be at this situation. Thoughts?
I think that's right. I think that what we saw when they reduced the penny down to 0.45 was this this goal to try to reduce spending and reduce revenue to the state and to get to a place where it's not going to generate those excesses that you were talking about. The big question for where we are today, though, and kind of looking forward, is our state to state tax ranking, we don't look as good as some of our neighboring states. And a lot of other states have been shifting their state tax policy over the last decade. And Louisiana has really never gone through, or not recently gone through, a massive overall overhaul of its tax structure. That's what we're in the middle of now, is a goal to try to get to a flatter, fairer, more competitive tax structure. As it's proposed and what may happen over the next day now, if they make changes on the business side, on the personal side, we may find that we are going to be more competitive. Maybe not as ambitious as the governor originally laid out, but we'll look better as a state at the end of this.
when it comes to looking better as a state in competitive rankings, however you want to phrase it, where does sales tax fit into that, Adam?
It's one of the many features. They look at income tax, business tax policy, sales tax, and then the clumsiness of how your structure is set up. You know, we collect sales taxes in all of our parishes instead of a centralized system. All of those things go into an overall ranking of your state. You can look that up at a nonprofit called the Tax Foundation that looks at all of our states. Mm-hmm. That's what really the governor is shooting for, is a more competitively ranked state at the end of this.
I guess what I'm thinking, and maybe this is too simplistic, but if either the 0.45 or increasing the sales tax to a penny would lead to less corporate taxes, making a more business-friendly environment, a 3% income tax, I guess in terms of priorities of attracting outside investment people to move here, that would seem an obvious solution, or is it not that obvious?
No, I think you just nailed it. They're talking about an extension of that sales tax and then using those revenues as ways to lower the income tax and then getting rid of a lot of credits and exemptions. And loopholes in the tax structure. That's generally what the whole debate looks like. That's
so,
right.
So if I'm just a dumb guy from the West Bank and I figured that out 3 years ago, why?
Why is it so hard?
Yeah. Because, again, I'm a dumb guy from the West Bank and I figured that out 3 years ago. Now it seems like we're wasting a lot of time and money. I don't know, reinventing the wheel.
Well, I think it would have been great to do this years ago. We wrote this report 10 years ago. The governor, when he opened the session, held up a book that was written in 1988 by an LSU professor saying exactly this same game plan. Not about the sales tax, but definitely about having a fairer system. And that's kind of where we're hopefully going to get to at the end of today. It's going to be a big day in tax policy for those who are nerdy enough to care about it.
Yeah, I am. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate your time. As always, we'll talk
Thank
to Ben
you
Riggs.
Me.
You bet. Who's nerdy enough to care about insurance reform in Louisiana when we come back right now. Minute late time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker on 1 week out from Thanksgiving on this beautiful morning. It's fall, y'all. Finally. Temperatures are in the if you average them around the area, I guess maybe around 50 degrees and going up to only 65 today. And that's not going to be until like 3 o'clock this afternoon. So 63 for a high tomorrow, 66 Saturday, warming into the 70s for the weekend on Sunday and Monday. And then by Thanksgiving, they're saying highs of 74 with a 40% chance for showers. Then a front comes through again, highs Friday on Black Friday of only 65. Ben Riggs joins us now, Executive Director of Real Reform Louisiana. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good. I'm happy about this weather.
Yeah, amen. I'll tell you that. So we hear so much about the special session on tax reform in the state and how it's going to lead to keep people from leaving the state and lead to new investment, lead to new people coming here. But and look, I'm all for that. But talk about, if you will, it seems to me the elephant in the room is the insurance crisis that the state has, both when you're talking about property insurance or automobile insurance, and the factor that plays in either companies locating here, people staying here, et cetera.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, insurance plays a huge role and without question is the biggest crisis facing our state, but it's going to play a huge role in companies deciding to relocate here, families deciding to relocate here or stay here. Absolutely. I mean, definitely the elephant in the room that we need to address. Unfortunately, we haven't really done much of anything to address it.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, when it comes to priorities, I don't know how you rank these things, but is the main driver for people leaving and companies not coming here insurance, or is it sales tax, or do you even want to weigh in on that?
I don't even really want to weigh in on it because I have no idea, mm-hmm. you know, what the main driver is for people wanting to leave here or, you know, stay. I can't imagine that paying, you know, the highest insurance rates in the nation, or if not the highest insurance rates in the nation, very close to that, but most certainly the most unaffordable insurance rates in the nation when you compare it to our median income. I can't imagine that being an incentive to come here or stay here.
So let's talk about property insurance in the first part of this, and we'll talk about auto insurance, because I'll just tell you this, and I know you didn't want to weigh in on it, but anecdotally, every time we talk about tax reform, and it's just anecdotal, but the text I get are people saying, I don't care about the taxes. I care about insurance. Insurance is driving me broke, driving me out, et cetera, keeping me from this or that. So let's talk about what has been done so far in Louisiana and compare and contrast with other states that have done similar things, because when it comes to this tax reform, we're hearing, well, that's what other states do. So when it comes to insurance reform, we heard, well, that's what other states do. Let's talk about what Louisiana did and how it compares with other states that made similar changes, or did they make all of the changes? Because you got to compare apples to apples, right, Ben?
Yeah, well, I mean, so in terms of comparing what we've done with what other states have done, it's kind of difficult to keep track of because so many different states pass so many different packages that have, you know, may have this bill or that bill, but not the other bill. And so, like, comparing apples to apples is difficult in that regard. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is this. You know, when we looked at the package that was passed by Commissioner Tim Temple in the last session, my insurance has not gone down. In fact, just the other day, my wife came out and asked me what was wrong with our mortgage payments. And when I went and looked at them, it was because more of it was going to home insurance because we had had an increase in home insurance. And we had to adjust the amount that we were paying in to make sure that our principal is being paid down. And that's actually something I've heard quite a few people talk about.
You know what I think is getting lost in some of this, Ben, if I might jump in for a second. I think people like maybe you or me have increased the payment and the insurance company, what's the word I'm thinking of? Where they collect it ahead of time. It doesn't matter. I'm having a brain fog here. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about? They collect the money ahead of time. Escrow. Tim.
Sure.
They escrow the funds. Tim Zimmer
There you go.
Tim Zimmer saving the day. But where they escrow the money, I increase the payment to pay off more principal. The insurance is going up, and they've not increased my payment or told me I had to increase the payment. But I think what's flying beneath the radar is people that don't examine the statement, like Mrs. Riggs, don't realize the insurance has gone way up. You're not paying attention to it because the insurance company's escrowing it, but that money's not going toward principal, it's going toward insurance. Do you understand what I'm saying?
100%. Yeah, 100%. And it causes a lot of problems for a lot of families, and often they don't catch it very quickly. It's something that they find out, you know, months later, and then they're playing catch-up. But in terms of the package that was passed, I think if you had to pick a state that's most similar to what we've done, it would be Florida. And Florida's insurance, like that, and that's one of the issues I have, is legislators continually talk about wanting to do what Florida has done. I'm not interested in emulating what Florida has done. They're in the exact same crisis, perhaps the only state in a worse crisis than we're in. And you see insurance rates going up in the state of Florida again. You know, I know that I sound like I'm just sort of beating a dead horse, because every time you and I talk, I say this, but it's just the truth. The proposals that Commissioner Temple is coming up with are going to do nothing to lower your insurance premiums.
Ben, let me take a break. I'm late. You can pick it up right there, okay? Because I think that's a good stopping point. Ben Riggs, Executive Director of Real Reform Louisiana. If you think, and I agree with Ben, if you think this is going to lower your rates, you're crazy. I think the best you could hope for is people to write insurance and the rates to stay where they are or to go up less than they have been going up. But if you think this is going to bring rates down, you're in the twilight zone. 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57 and a half. Tommy Tucker, get a text from a friend of mine that is an insurance agent, an independent insurance agent. She says, bingo, the only goal here is to keep insurance companies open and writing right now. Ben, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, the issue is that if you look in Louisiana over the past 2 years, now granted, I understand that the 2 years prior were the two when we had the big storms. If you look at Louisiana over the past 2 years for property insurance, our loss ratio, which is a number that says how much of the money that we're paying in premiums insurance companies keep versus pay out in claims. So the lower the number, the more insurance money companies are keeping. Our loss ratio in Louisiana is the second best in the country, which means that insurance companies are keeping more of the premium dollars we pay for property insurance than 49 other states. And in auto, it's 46 other states that they're keeping more money than. So the loss ratios in Louisiana are very good right now. But we're continually talking about increasing premiums. If you compare Louisiana with our peer states, Mississippi, Texas, Arkansas, We have better loss ratios than all four and higher premiums than all four in both property and home. I think there is a considerable amount of data that shows consumers pay lower premiums in states where the insurance commissioner and state regulators do more to scrutinize rate increases from insurance companies. Harvard Business School, in conjunction with one of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, did an exhaustive study on this in the property insurance industry. And what they found was states that have looser regulations that do not scrutinize rate increases, Oklahoma, Louisiana are two very good examples, pay higher premiums. They effectively end up subsidizing the profit margins for insurance companies in states that have stricter regulations. So in a sense, it's like we're paying more to make up profit gaps in states like California. I think that in Louisiana, we have to look at having more scrutiny of these rate increases, where, you know, unfortunately, when Senator Duplessis asked Commissioner Temple this question here very recently, Commissioner Temple responded that he didn't think it was his job or responsibility to tell an insurance company whether their rate was too high or not.
We got to run, Ben. Thank you. Hope you can come back. We'll talk to People's Health when we come back. Mike Knight stepping in for Dr. B about food insecurity. Tommy Tucker back in a flash. WWL.